This is CliffCentral.com.
Wednesday morning, CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7. Dave Levinson's hanging with us. It's loads of fun. Dave, I see here. Here's a message from somebody who says, loving Dave, bring him back. Good chemistry.
I did tell some people to send messages.
Well, that works.
Yes.
The intelligent comedian thing is interesting because...
Hold on. No. Don't you try and direct conversation.
The quiz, all the celebrities they had on there. So it was a couple of singers and a few other
actors. Hang on. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
It was a radio quiz.
No, hang on.
So they have them when they don't have listeners.
There was a radio quiz and Dave took part in it and he won.
Yes.
And he's very proud of himself. He's got a trophy. His mom is thrilled because it's the first time he's won anything.
It was 5 questions in a minute.
And you got them all right.
Got them right, but I got it in 20 seconds where the guy that was doing the quiz thing went and looked at the timer and looked at him and, oh, it's done. But every single guy that came in, they said, oh, yeah, we're scared of the comedian because comedians know everything. And it's probably true. We have nothing to do.
That's a compliment.
We have nothing to do.
Who were the other people?
Emmanuel Castors, Art Matthews, the Brains Trust of the world. I think if you could finish the national anthem, you were in the second round.
Hey, look, who was it the other day who couldn't
Chris
sing
Forrest
that?
Was Chris, the weird thing. Chris Forrest and Demisa Lindy were in the 35-second range. So they're another 2 comedians.
Okay.
I think it is the general knowledge thing. It's like you have
comedians.
No... Someone said, how do you know that? I'm like, I honestly do not know how I know that. But at school, I was useless at remembering the real facts.
But somehow remember, these things have stuck to you.
I can recognize flags. It's full on autism, I think. Anyway... What did you want to say?
No, you have autism, that's for sure. Just so you're on the, what did they say, on the spectrum.
Some way there.
I'm just writing my abuse play.
So, all right, Dave has got some stories he wants to share with us this morning. Apparently, the world champion gold panning, what would you call them?
Champion.
No.
The world champion gold panning panner.
Gold panner,
gold
right?
Panner. Gold panner. Has arrived back. To a fanfare.
She's South African.
Her Uber driver was very impressed when she arrived back.
Wow, that's quite a crowd.
Listen, the weirdest thing is
she didn't get met at the airport.
The ladies' football team are arriving back from the World Cup. Obviously didn't make it through from the pool stages, but they came back. They're coming back today.
Who cares?
Well, there'd be some.
Do you watch that? Do you watch women's football?
Women's football is the biggest problem there is people are saying it's got more stuff, people are watching more advertisers, and yet when I watched it, my own opinion, I don't watch a lot of football, it's just slower, and that's nothing to do with the speed of it. It's just I couldn't get into it. I was like, come on, do a thing.
No.
Even when they scored 13 goals against South Korea, I couldn't get into
thing.
It.
Look,
do a thing.
I don't want to immediately look for trouble with people here, but they were advertising that you could win like tickets to go and watch Bafana play wherever they've just played. I know nothing about this. I was like, that's not a prize. For most men, that would be an ordeal.
The admin.
No, well...
Okay. So let's go back to gold panning. I'm more interested
in that. No, hold on. Would you want to watch Bafana play? Mm. The guys?
Yes.
Would you?
No.
Because they're losers.
Yeah.
Well... Yeah, never mind. No. I won't even comment. It's so left field for me.
If you get to go and see...
This is great. The sports news with you two and Ben just sits here.
No, Ben hates it because we have no idea about sport. But
that's why I came up with gold panning.
But
here's the world.
I can tell you that women's soccer has got very bad ratings on TV. No one watches it. So we've got to stop pretending that this is the same. Look,
it's the same.
Put Costa Semenya on the track.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to watch her
because
she wins.
Wins and for other reasons as well.
Yeah. Put Usain Bolt on the track, he wins. We want to watch.
Yes.
Put the great women tennis player, Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. We want to watch her. People watch that. They love it. But a football team.
It's got a while to go.
South Africa, nobody cares.
Why do you think like it's. Why don't you
it's
think
it's weird. See, the people that are watching it, send out a football, call them a generation.
It's like
they'll be mostly men.
They've got guns in their
mouths. And they want to watch. They want to watch football.
They've got guns in their mouths.
They're not watching ladies. That's just facts. It's not because... No, and they really did try hard with this World Cup and had a whole lot of improvements in ratings and certain things.
I was seeing a lot of people...
Not the same. I couldn't watch a full game.
I was seeing a lot of people just support them on social media.
At least you tried.
I tried. Yeah. I tried to see...
But people supporting them on social media, these are people who want to be part of something.
The group.
They're not really what... I guarantee none of those people watched.
Name 3 players.
They can't name one.
Chantal, Karen. No, there's just 3 lesbians on there.
That's...
I'm not wrong. So,
all right. So
you probably are.
Tell us about gold panning.
Well, you know, Gareth, the actual world championships are being held in August.
I love the way you talk about this, like you know.
Yes, and you know, with gold panning, it's not what you think. It's very set up environment. There are several gold pans.
I wonder what it is
that
we think.
And you know, it's something for the whole family, whether you're going to compete or cheer in the audience, as they say on this Finnish website.
Hang on.
But in August,
do you have how big's your pan?
From the 5th to the 10th, a pan is about the size of a small dustbin lid.
Okay.
Which you get at Mr. Price.
Right.
It's no, they don't judge you on the pan you bring. Bring a pan. It doesn't have to be metal.
Oh, you bring
it can be plastic. You bring it. You travel. A good gold panner will travel with their own equipment.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like that old story where the guy says he sees this long pole at customs and he says, "Are you a pole vaulter?" And he says, "No, I am German, but how did you know my name was Volta?" So okay, in the panning the panning world, it's exactly the same. And the world champion is South African. So this is in August. She'll obviously go to the big championships, and there's results, and there's a competition rules, and there's accommodation, and it's fun for the whole family. And this guy's brought a whole bucket, thinking that maybe he's really going to get more gold than everyone else. But it's the old story, eh? It's the prospectors.
But you know how we are. Just because we're doing great at something, we'll support that. So, okay.
So now I'm saying, forget the Banyana Banyana.
What's her name?
The gold pan winner.
Yeah.
Erica Johnson.
You don't know.
Finsonson?
Nobody knows her name. But she will get the order of Mapungubwe next week. Because we'll
take a medal.
Yeah, we'll take anything we
can
get.
There's more. I've got more obscure news. The South African men's hockey team, the proper, what do you call them? The Proteas. The hockey Proteas.
Nobody knows.
No one knows. Not having a chance. They have to fly themselves to the World Champions. So the World Cup was held now.
No, that's
in
so
hockey.
Sad.
They can't. There's no backing. They fly themselves. They back themselves. They have charity events, golf days, whatever. But they are backed, obviously, a little bit by SASCOC, whoever it is. I know it would be called. That's Olympics. But the World Champs were held. We got into the finals against India. India. So the men's hockey team, as shit as they are, it's all guys who have normal jobs. They're not
shame,
like
man.
The Indian hockey team are pros. That's what they do. Our guys, the one guy's a plumber, the one guy works, he does butterfly valves. But there is in India playing hockey
for
in
the
finals.
Country,
silver
representing
medal.
The country.
Silver.
Yeah, that's sad. I mean, it's,
I think that should be the happy song. Some more news. South
Look
African.
At you, you're a mine of information this morning.
Oh, mine.
Gold digger.
See? Go on.
So the South African men's touch rugby team got into the finals at the World Touch Rugby World Cup.
Who cares?
How do you know all of this?
I know one of the players.
Obscure sports with Dave Levinson.
Then, arm wrestling.
You're making it up now.
The world champion arm wrestler is in Brack Pan.
Okay,
I'm just saying he's there.
You are serious about the gold panning.
Gold panning is real, so it's in Finland.
And you're serious about
if you want to go, there's accommodation from the 5th to the 10th of August.
You're serious about the men's hockey.
Men's hockey silver, touch rugby,
and
finals
touch rugby
against Australia. So it's kind of weird when people go, South African sports is horrible, we're not doing well. But hang on, if you're at next time you're at the gym in the sauna.
Yes.
And people say, well, South African sports going down the tube, it's all the government, and since 94 and the World Cup and Francois Pinot, you can say, guys, do you know that we came we got into the finals of the men's hockey? I'm like, see ya, you never say a word in the sauna. You go, not only that, but we were in the finals of the men's touch rugby. See ya, come sit over here on the step with us, man.
Because I definitely want to get closer to people in the sauna.
Well, I don't know your social situations, but I'm saying you can now fit
Dave,
in.
Dave, I do a lot of things.
You can now fit into places and start being happier.
See you in the sauna.
I think if we look for more things, obscure sports that people do, like I'll speak to someone, what do you do? Underwater hockey. You're like, what?
Oh, it's good.
Dave, this
you never got into
calling,
sport,
actually.
Gareth. Just in terms of your brain, never got into it.
No.
Because physically, you're well built. You do gym, you look after yourself. So that's a sport of your mind.
No, I like individual pursuits. I'm not a big team guy. So if you see, first of all, I would hate to let a team down.
And you don't like being shouted at by a coach.
And I don't take instructions very well.
Okay. As a kid, you just went and you said, guys, please don't choose me for
I'm
this
just rebellious.
Thing.
Well, look, I didn't make any effort, so no one ever knew whether I was fast, slow, good, bad.
You're an unknown entity, don't mess with that one.
Well, they wouldn't. Look, I wasn't the last person
stingers?
Chosen.
Stingers? Do you ever do stingers?
I was very good at that.
You see?
Individual.
Because you could throw a thing at someone.
No.
You were good at that.
But individual.
But I would have aimed at your head.
Because also in stingers, all you need to do is be faster than the other turd.
Do you remember Stingers?
And I know they played it during breaks. You would do I was never that person.
I'm so glad you brought that up. That was something I was really good at.
See, I'm trying to find a thing. What about Red Rover?
Don't know what that is.
No, what's Red Rover? You have a line of people on that side. One guy gets chosen. And he stands here and he says, Red Rover, let's see her come over. You've got to get past him to get to the other side.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do remember that. I didn't like it.
It's a chaotic game. It becomes... It's a mall.
It gets vicious.
And then eventually, those two people didn't get into the line if they don't get across.
Now, what did you do sport-wise?
Any team sport. I loved it.
Really, you like it?
I was useless. But I was in the team, I think, because I made them laugh.
But you enjoyed the
I loved
thing.
It. I loved seeing a progress. See, in
I,
terms
if
of,
I can't win,
I loved I'm, having I'm a coach that fight. Goes, you guys are really, really shit, but I can fix you. And within the psychology of coaching is amazing because within a month, we were in another league. We had done better because he had taken average dudes because they're very good at what they do. Obviously, there were some shitty ones.
Mm-hmm.
But a good coach for a team, I think, is an amazing, what is the word? Like just a little thing to have happen to you in your teenage years.
Yeah.
Good coach was we had seen the worst of it. So to have a good coach was amazing. And when I see these teams doing these things like Manchester United winning everything for 10 years, and then it goes back to Alex Ferguson. Literally, right. Because he would take the one guy aside and say, hey, man, are things okay at home? Because I'm sensing a bit of a vibe. Yeah, I know my dog died or whatever. Well, let's sort it out. And he'd go sort it out. You play football, buddy. I'll bury the dog or I'll get your sister's thing. So he could sense these things like something's wrong with this. Something's right with this guy. This guy's doing this. Guy's doing that. And he'd balance them all out and into this team. That's him. And that's how he won all those things. Those guys weren't better footballers than another team. And that's what this guy taught. He said, that guy weighs the same as you. He looks the same as you. But he goes to St. Stithians. And you're at Athlone. He's the same height as you. He's the same speed as you. Why is he better than you? And you're like, damn, this guy just leveled every single private school mom in the world down to like, you're better than him. Go.
So was this in soccer?
Let's say rugby and cricket and I suppose a bit of swimming as well.
What a guy.
The swimming coach was another world. He was just a rough, angry man. But you had to do these things called pyramids where you swim one length, two, then three, then four, then five, then six, then seven, then eight, then nine, then ten.
Yeah.
And then 9, 8, 7, 6 until then you did your pyramid, you could go home. He said, I'm not making you swim anything, just do your pyramid and then go back home. I don't care how long it takes you. So you'd be sitting in the pool, but eventually you'd get good at it. And he got you all of a sudden but he got the most, like I would say, like you would look like a tall, lanky dude. Mm. He would find a thing for you that you'd enjoy. I think that's the thing. No one ever said, you're shit at this. Come and do this. Come and try this. Basketball would have been lucky for you.
Yeah.
But there was never a
well.
Yeah. But no, your mind doesn't work in the team.
No, you see, that's the problem. I'm not good at taking instructions, and I don't actually want other people to share in the glory.
And then those single sports. Yeah. If it goes single well, sports.
If it goes well,
tennis, I suppose, squash.
I'm quite a... Yeah, are you the kind of person who genuinely...
Team building.
Yeah, like those things, those team building events.
You must have
events.
Hated that. Because, you know, they get the comedians to do the MC work at those things.
I was destructive.
Mm. So you'll get invited. So I can imagine if a radio station would have had 3 or 4 of those a year.
We once went to, the 5FM management wanted to take us to do mosaics. Right, because
it's
a team building thing. I was...
You must have been horrible.
Incorrigible. It was. I left after 15, 20 minutes and the rest of them carried on for 3 hours. Because I realized
you have to build stuff out of Lego, hand the thing, do the relay races.
I didn't want to make it all about me, so I realized, look, this is not for me. I went up to the manager and I said to her, or him, I can't even remember who it was, I'm going to get out of here. And they were like, no, you have to be a part of this. This is important. I said to them, look, you don't understand. If you keep me here, I'm going to ruin this for everyone.
I'll break
not
the
because
team.
I'm not trying to be shit, but because this is really not a good vibe for me. I don't like this. Everybody's doing an activity together stuff. And there was drumming. And then they were going to do...
I'm just in my mind. I can see this all happening.
And the despair in his eyes.
I just said, look.
As comedians, you have to host these things.
It must be horrible, right?
But your personality types come out. And your personality type is actually quite cool. Because what you do is put them in a leadership position. You don't have to rely on the carpet and pretend you're a beetle. But do this.
Is that what they make people do?
No, they've got some crazy shit going on nowadays with especially with the guys are hunting for togetherness in their company so desperately. So what they've got is 10 years of of nothing weird. Apartheid was over. We get the thing. There's a guy. He's a manager. He's not meant to be there. That's a BE position. That's a this. So they just want this cohesive thing. So they're getting these people in to go, let's find out, at least at work, we leave our shit at home and we come here and you're not, you're seer. I respect your culture and I identify all these weird things. So these guys are playing these games and doing these things and getting these motivational speakers, Robin Banks.
So what kind of stuff do they do?
They do the breakdown activities. So they'll go, we're going to, the chain, the link, this weakest link, you know, if you're handing a thing, if you're blindfolded through a thing, you have to lead each other through a thing. It's all that kind of stuff. You would have hated.
You develop trust.
Exactly.
That stuff.
But not the throwing the person back.
Where you fall backwards and
have you seen that video
you?
Where everyone's like, all right, Jamie, we're going to catch you now. And just close your eyes and fall and we'll catch you. And Jamie falls forward like this.
Why does everything bad have to be said in an Australian accent for
Because
you?
I always spend a lot of time with this guy. It's so weird. Think, if you don't like your country, spend some time with someone else from another country and you just start loving your country. It's the craziest thing.
Look at
thing.
You being all inspirational. But no, I want to go back to these team buildings.
So the team building, they get the guys in, they split up into teams, and what they do is you with someone that you don't see in the office. So who don't you see here? Obviously the other shows,
no,
producers.
No, we all see each other.
Okay. So you don't have a need for team building. But let's do it anyway. I think it just... as a messed up video for social media, the Cliff Central team goes to team building. We just go to Dahlstrom somewhere and we all go run naked through the field.
I hate that stuff. This is exactly why I never used to like sport at school, because you'd have to you'd have to do these dumb things with each other. But we're just like,
the psychology of you, I'd love to get into your mind, because I did sports psychology for a little bit. And that's
the
greatest thing about it is finding someone's strength that they don't know. That's amazing, because you, somewhere along the line, someone just said you were shit or something and you just believed it.
No, I really don't have confidence.
But your sister, sporty, dad, mom, uncles?
Yeah, my brother especially, he's like massively sporty. He played first team cricket, rugby, soccer.
If you were on a couch now and I was a psychiatrist, I would go in there. That somewhere along the line, he just said, you were like, you said, can I come with, please, Mark? And he said, Gareth, no, you stay here. No, you're useless.
No, I never took instructions from my brother. He was younger than me.
Why does he speak like
Batman?
No,
hold on. It's not a confidence. I didn't do these things. I didn't not do them because I didn't think I'd be good at them.
So you stepped out gracefully. You're like, carry on. You guys do it.
If I can't win, there's such a competitive streak, then I don't take part. But let's not make this about me. I'm interested in
these team
things.
No, there's lots of people like that. So I'm trying to think of some of the activities. The one was like, you got these wooden, like a half pipe, a long pole, so it's maybe the size of a broom, but it's got a groove in it. Mm-hmm. And then there's four marbles. So you sit around a table, and you got to roll the marbles down the thing to the next person's got the same pipe as you, and you roll the marble down, and you get four marbles in there, and it's a bit of a relay race. But the cool thing about it is, it sounds easy, but you've got your pole, and a marble's coming towards you, and it's kind of sort of, the next person has to be ready to get that marble, because it's falling at a speed of gravity. Then they have to get there. They have to catch it in their little thing and then roll it down. And it's a big... The marbles fall all over the table. It's a fun... It's more of a drinking game.
I never liked
essentially than a team building. But the thing about it is, the teams that do well put the thing down first and said, okay, what are we all going to do? They chatted about it. They had someone in charge. They said, okay, that thing's going to come at this speed. Let's all do this. Then they didn't stand in a circle to start. They stood in a straight line and the last person got the marble to the person by doing it. So they found a way. But it was amazing to see those teams... Just got it.
Look, I see the merit in these things. Like, I understand why it
because
works.
Because you know how companies work in terms of hierarchy, and then who's... So to get everyone together in a room like that, play it like a game, get a little bit of laughy energy, and then we're going to do the quarterly review of the second quarter.
If I'm in a group of four people, and let's say you screw it up, and Sia and someone else and I had done it right, I'd be furious with you. So I'm not a team.
Oh, jeez. There's another one that
if you ruined it for us, I'd be furious. Like, we didn't win because of Dave. You know what I mean?
Well, the way that these guys do it, they obviously, HR works heavily with the dudes. They get it out of you. So if you are across with Dave, the next game, Dave actually ends up doing well. And now you get it right. And you see their merits in terms of
I'm still hating
company.
Dave from the previous
game. I hate Dave as well. The other one that was funny
there
was a puzzle piece behind a blanket. And you had the puzzle here. And they haven't got the same. They've got the puzzle there, and you're trying to tell them what the picture is of. So they've got this puzzle. So you say, "Okay, put the it's a like a thing, put it in the left corner, and then the other person behind the curtain going, your left or my left? It's just chaos. So now you're building a puzzle for a blind person. And what it, obviously everything teaches something. There's so many things that they have go wrong in the company. So they wanted things getting, there were orders going missing and credits and things. They wanted succinct instructions just to go, can you deliver this thing on time to this place?
Improving communication.
All those things. Yeah. But some of the games, the guy said, you guys, you realize why we play that game? Who thinks they know? So people are trying. You know, there's always a prefect. I think it was nice that we all ended up speaking in a different language, yet we all understood what we were saying. Yeah, and you, what do you think it was? But these guys are good at their jobs. That's what they do all around the world. Mm. He does, yeah. So everyone comes up with the reason why we did so well. And he says, that was actually just to have some fun. Because you can't actually do that, people. You can have fun at work. And they looked at me, no. This one guy puts pipes under your desk, a PVC pipe, a short one, so orange short one, a long green one, and a blue one.
Like a B11.
B11 without the butterfly clip, because that's what causes all the trouble. And he walks into the room and looks at everyone. He's dressed as a conductor. So everyone doesn't know that there's pipes under their chair.
Yeah.
He walks in and he nods his head, but he nods it big like this. And everyone's just talking because it's conference, they don't know. And he hasn't said a word, eh? And he nods his head again like this. And eventually some people go, they nod, and he nods it again like this. And then eventually, from not saying a word, he gets that room dead quiet going like this.
Nodding their heads.
So a psychology of it, but then he goes, and he lifts his finger in the air, and he says, like, down. So everyone looks under the chair, and he takes out the green pipe, and he holds it up like this. So everyone obviously goes, oh yeah, we must hold up
monkey
the green
pipe. Monkey see, monkey do.
So he holds up the green pipe, and he goes, he waves it like this, and it makes a sound. It goes, hoo, 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 because the air flowing over it. So everyone goes, hoo, 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 and he goes like this, stop. Then he gets the blue pipe, and he teaches them. But eventually, he has them playing a recognizable tune. He hasn't said a word. So this guy, obviously, is very in demand in terms of companies, because what better than an orchestra? Because you want your company to work.
Yeah, and people can...
So smart. Everyone at the back had the blue pipes. Everyone on the side, they had the green ones. And he said, you guys with the orange. And he goes, one. And then they go, two, two, three, three. And he was playing. He played dum 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 dum, 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 dum. And the people are standing there. 5 minutes ago, this guy just nodded at them. Now they're musical. And he's called the silent conductor.
Eventually, they're busy doing this.
Only after 3 weeks.
Yeah, but they eventually got there. Listen, here they are. This is
so. This is team building.
This is the guys from. From Nedbank. Yeah. Listen.
Actually, I recognize this is Unilever. Oh. This is very much. These are just the cleaners and the two drivers.
It's amazing. With just
why
are
you against team building? Look PVC at that. You could pipes. Have the whole of Cliff Central as a
yeah, but like I'm orchestra. Actually, if someone walks into a room and nods at that. Me. I get out of the room. I'm like, this is a terrorist.
They're terrible.
Well, it sounds like a cult in the beginning.
And again... There are people like me. There are a lot of people like me. I know that there's someone listening right now who's going, yeah, I don't want to nod when that guy nods. They're just non-conformists.
But the team ones are still there. You can see the girl that was hit was captain of the netball team. She's into it. She's like, what else can I do?
Big time.
So she's either, but she's not trying to climb the corporate ladder anyway, but ladder. The corporate ladder. Oh, we are Toyota. We have the corporate ladder. But she's into it.
But if you were management, you'd be watching this to identify.
I think in a young leadership thing you would, but in a company that's old enough, what you really want is for everyone, what is the thing? Let's all feel like we belong in this company, then get the orchestra guy. If you want to identify leadership, then get the games guy. But what you really just want is this cohesive, hello, let's say hello to each other from Monday. Mm. How do we do that? Because we're not doing it anymore.
There's an interesting.
I noticed when I walked in here, you never said hello to me. So if I was the manager of this place, I'd go, let's sort that out. So in some way, I want from Monday, but I can't just send out an email. So what we would do is we go get drunk at Rockets.
And I swear it helps.
And then you guys don't know it, but I've organized a magician to come there and I've organized someone to have a fight in the restaurant. But because I'm a smart guy.
I hate this.
So the fight happens in the restaurant, then there's a flash mob, and then Gareth all of a sudden is in makeup and he's dressed and he's like, oh, I hate this. But we had a time Christmas party, and on Monday morning, guess what? We all sang hello to each other. Mm. Somehow, I don't know.
I will have resigned.
In my dream world.
I will have resigned.
That was what we wanted.
Then you fixed the company. Well done.
Welcome to Dave Central.
Here's an interesting story I wanted to have your thoughts on this morning. And we're really just shooting the breeze, catching up with Dave. It's been a little while. Apparently, having tattoos is no longer something that affects your chances of getting a job. Now, I'm surprised it had to take this long.
Yes, why would a mark on someone's skin the same as a mole or a hair lip?
This is from the Independent in the UK. Now, it seems that there were some people who wouldn't hire someone because of a tattoo.
Well, that would have been a generation.
I think so. Like,
there's Mr. Simpson from accounts. I wouldn't hire that man who's got a big giant spider. He's from jail. He got that tattoo in jail.
Well, it used to be that the only people who had tattoos were people who'd been to prison or in the Navy. Mm. Yeah.
So that would have been that generation because that's the... But then that they need a team building.
Probably.
We all draw.
Do you judge people when you see that they've got a tattoo?
I draw penises on people's faces if they fall asleep on the bus.
You do?
Yeah. Don't fall asleep next to me. I suppose that sounds bad, eh? But yeah, no, there's no... I would never not employ someone if they had a tattoo. Some of the coolest people I know have got tattoos. There's no smart... I mean, you look at Richard Mulholland.
Yeah, and
a lot of... not even a thing.
I like the idea. I don't have any tattoos. But I like the idea of like someone having tattoos, but they can dress and hide the tattoos if they feel like it.
That's up to them, and it's also weird. Why would you hide it? But I understand the society's going for an interview. Well,
yeah,
yeah. I like the commitment to tattoo. That thing's got that little hot stuff devil. Remember, everyone got a hot stuff devil.
No, not really. It must be a cartoon. An Eastrand thing.
It's an Eastrand thing or a tramp stamp. They were proud that when you were 17 or 19, I'm going to get this thing. Yeah. Guess what? It's going to be there forever. That's commitment. So I would employ that person because they understand commitment.
Fair enough. Or else they just get drunk with their friends.
Were you drunk? Did Dave draw that penis on your face? We find he's doing that a lot. Oh, we really got to speak to management. He doesn't even work here.
Speaking of penises, Dave, this morning you're very lucky because we're going to speak to Dr. Robin Spring. She is a obstetrician and gynecologist, and we're going to talk to her for a very specific reason because we got into a discussion the other day about chemical castration. You know what they might want to do with people who have...
Very uneasy now.
Regular sex offenders and that kind of thing. I want to know how it actually works. So we decided we'd speak to... Hey, Dr. Robin, how are you?
I'm cool, thanks, Gareth. And you guys?
Good. Did I have you researching the hell out of chemical castration suddenly?
You did have me just recapping a few of my notes, yeah.
All right, so we were discussing Alabama sex offenders who abuse young kids, and they undergo something called chemical castration while on parole under a new law. The requirement has prompted legal concerns and appears to be rarely used in some states that allow it. Now, we decided we needed to find out what this is all about. And you need to explain a little bit about endocrinology to us in order to get into this.
Yeah. So
especially Dave. Dave's listening very carefully.
This is the first time a comedian
and an obstetrician have been in the same vicinity.
An obstetrician.
Go.
Okay, so essentially you need to just understand that there are chemicals released from your brain that stimulate your testicles to produce testosterone.
Right.
And where chemical castration comes in, it's they give the patient or the offender a injection of a medication that looks like the hormone that your brain releases to stimulate your testicles. And what that hormone does is it then blocks the receptor, and so the testicle then goes, okay, no, I'm not getting any messages. I don't need to produce any testosterone.
So what happens if you don't produce testosterone as a man?
Well, lots of things happen. The obvious sort of body composition things that happen. So lean body mass drops, body fat grows up, muscle strength weakens. Obviously there can be gynecomastia, which is when men grow some boobs, mm-hmm. some moobs.
Right.
And then we can get as far as the penis can start to shrink, the testicles to shrink. And you can even have sort of the body hair thinning, and bald men can sometimes regrow hair on the top of their heads. So those are the obvious things that we see. And then the other things that we don't see, but some of the effects that they obviously want for these offenders is there's sexual dysfunction. Libido drops down within a couple of months after starting the injections. And then shortly after that, it's followed by erectile dysfunction where he just can't get it up anymore. And what's really scary about that is that there can be some recovery, but not all men recover from this when the injections stop. Then there are things like osteoporosis. There can be weakening of the bones. And then there's this lovely little effect where men who have these injections, they go through symptoms pretty similar to what women go through when they go through the menopause, and they get hot flushes and they sweat at night and they get all emotional and they're fatigued and lack energy. Also, they have some slowing of their thoughts. So their brain starts to slow down a bit. There's a higher risk of Alzheimer's.
Are you saying women have slower thoughts than men?
In the menopause, some women's thoughts do slow down.
Really?
I'm not saying they're just slower than men.
Think about it before you answer.
So, all right.
Have I stopped psychologically analyzing sex offenders? Because the psychological way was to... That's how you'd fix them. Take someone and go, here's where your problem is. This is you were touched as a child, maybe. Yeah. So the psychology, they've given up. They said, no, we need this blob pill.
Yeah. Well, they're doing it specifically for pedophiles. So men who have, I think the law said, between men who'd abused children between 7 and 13 years of age who are released on parole.
Yeah.
Is that as a threat to them to stop? So they say, listen, we're going to give you this thing. You need to sort out your life. Is it a threat first, or is it straight up, take a pull?
No, it's straight up.
I don't think these guys can help themselves. So basically what this does is it dulls the sexual urge. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, they're not looking for gynecomastia or for their hair to grow back if they're bald, or for them to become leaner. Or for them to have slowed thoughts like women during menopause. What they're looking for is for the sexual urge to be diminished.
Yeah, that's it.
And this stuff works?
It does. It works. It works extremely well.
Why don't all men? Here's a really controversial question.
Put it in the water in Breck pan.
Why don't all men take it so that we can stop being such animals? Like most men, we're distracted by sex every day, every hour, every minute. That's how men are.
Take your
We can't help it. Imagine if we could take a pill to just make us a little less obsessed with sex. We could get a lot more done.
No, you can't get more done because you're
not motivated.
A blob. You're not motivated. So I think
all those other side effects.
If the pedophile has a job where they don't know he's a pedophile, obviously there's a sex offenders list. But now he's going to be slower at his job, and they go, Jeff, you seem a bit slow today. Oh, I know, man. I don't know, I left my paper clips. Jeff, are you a pedophile perhaps? Because you're getting hairy, man. You're sitting in the blob in the corner there, and you're getting hairy. How did you get the job here? They probably live with their mom in a van.
Seriously, is there a good reason why we don't just do this? Why don't they put it into the water in all prison populations?
It's the scariest thing.
Well, it's kind of – it's seriously powerful medication, and it's seriously taking over patient autonomy. So as a patient or as a person, you have your autonomy over your own body. So you get to decide what happens to your body. And the moment someone dictates that to you, that's a problem. And particularly when the thing they're dictating is actually something that's pretty important in terms of your psychological makeup. And then given the fact that the meds also have, you know, not insignificant side effects. I mean, we're looking at weakening of bones. We're looking at heart disease. We're looking, you know, those are significant risks.
Are they doing this already? Is it in practice in Alabama?
It was signed off, I think, on the 15th of May.
So they've obviously got repeat offenders. So obviously this would be...
Sex offenders whose crimes involve children between the ages 7 and 13 must receive the medication before being released from prison on parole. Alabama does not allow parole for sex crimes involving children 6 and under.
Not even allowed the medicine, not even allowed out.
No.
So that means that they obviously have results then if it's being done. So they can already see that those repeat offenders are not doing the same stuff that they used to do. They're kind of they're too lethargic to get the sweets and get in the van.
There are some states in the US that have these laws, but some of them have repealed them because of concerns regarding things like patient autonomy and all these horrible side effects. And so it's been fairly controversial in Alabama that they have signed this law in.
Because that whole section of America is going through some very bodily based laws.
What do you mean?
Well, the abortion law in sort of southern states as well. I don't know if it's Alabama. Which one is it?
Louisiana, Alabama.
So they're kind of the body is taking a major turn in law.
Well,
that's a crazy side effect.
Is there a form of a female chemical castration?
There is to a degree, and well, unfortunately, most women go through it spontaneously when they become menopausal and their ovaries stop working and stop producing estrogen. But yeah, certainly for some women, they do, like for Castor, what they're recommending is a form of chemical castration. They want her to artificially lower her hormone levels.
So she produces less naturally, so like a blocker, an inhibitor.
Mm.
Sure. Mm. This is crazy. I would love to know the results of this. That if it stops someone from repeat offender, but I just think you're making a man angrier with the world. If he becomes this blob, hairy blob in the corner, now he's just going to be angry. He'll stop being a sex offender and start doing blowing himself up or something weirder.
Angry blob.
No, he will become an angry blob.
I read an article last night about a guy who'd actually electively chose to do this. He'd been married to his wife for something like 45 years, and he had a problem with prostitutes, and his wife caught him, and he desperately wanted to save his marriage. Okay. And they went through counseling, didn't work, didn't do anything for his head, and eventually he went to, there was some doctor in the States, and he went to her and said, listen, I'm prepared to have a surgical castration. And she said, well, why don't you try this instead? And for him, he is so happy with his life that's those cool thoughts are switched off.
Dr. Robin, what's the actual process like if it's not surgical?
So it's an injection that they get, and it's a once every 3 months injection. So it's a long lasting injection, and obviously, every 3 months the chap has to report to his local doctor to get his shot.
Man,
all right. So very we're all just sitting here looking at each other, going,
"Yeah, but this is potentially it has its uses." I mean, there are dangerous men out there. We know that there are a lot of guys who have no control over themselves whatsoever. They're animals,
are killies of this world.
Yeah, right.
But that's the thing. So for those people, you can't convince them. Say, listen, you need it. It's an intervention. Oh. First of all, it's psychological first, because that guy did it by himself. He said, listen, I want my life back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't walk past a street pole without looking at the pole. So he's elective. That's good. And I think a lot of these, when you see these documentaries about them, the guy says, do you want to change? He says, yes, I hate doing this. I want a normal day. So then I think it is elective. It'll be good, but not if you force it.
But then
here's a vitamin B shot.
You said the balls and penis shrink.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That happens in winter anyway. I don't care. Where are you from? East London. It's cold there. That happens.
No, East London. No, sorry, not Cape very Town, cold Cape at Town. All.
And you grow titties.
I got moobs.
You can get moobs.
So what? That's just too much.
Right, listen, I think it's great that something is being done. It's drastic.
Hold on. And while we're on this issue, because there's the corollary to this is what happens when you produce too much testosterone. Like guys who take steroids,
you get a medal.
Well, they get all those symptoms. They get aggressive. They get their steroid rage. They get acne. They get greasy skin, greasy hair. They can lose their hair, and all those things happen.
All right, so and what does that do anything to the
often
sexual
when they
urge?
It does, because they're giving themselves testosterone. So what happens is they then stop producing their own testosterone. So again, you get atrophy and the balls start to shrink down and sexual dysfunction becomes a problem as well. But that's because they've stopped producing their own estrogen. I mean, testosterone. They're only getting the testosterone that they're injecting into themselves, which is blocking their testosterone.
While we're on this, what is all this nonsense about how there's estrogen in the water and it's busy affecting people? Is there any truth to this at all?
There might be some, but if we look at the actual levels of estrogen that is in the water, it's so minuscule that it's of little relevance. I think where some of the issues have come in has been in sort of a lot of the sort of cattle feedlots in the States and that, where those animals were getting enormous amounts of hormones pumped into them to make them grow fast. Mm. And I think there have been a few isolated issues there. But no, the amount of estrogen in the water is really negligible, actually. And I don't think we need to be too stressed about that.
All right, is there anything that you want to ask about vaginas or penises, Sia, Dave Levinson?
I think between the two of us, Sia, I know too much and he knows too little.
And so we'll reach a middle ground naturally.
Yes, let's talk about the perineum.
Is the
the what?
Well,
now you see.
Is the perineum even the interesting?
Yes, Robin.
Is it interesting?
What's going on down there? We've both got one.
That's the region between the balls and the asshole.
It's we share that in female and male in the same nerve endings.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where Dave's vagina is hidden?
It's in my mind. No, but we were talking about a pregnant woman massaging the perineum so that if they're having natural childbirth, it doesn't split. So you put an essential oil and it doesn't
and see his mind explodes.
Is this right? Rob, you obviously deal with these things a lot because that's your area of expertise.
That is one of my areas. So it is that area between the anus and the vagina, or between the anus and the testicles, taint the vagina and it taint the bum. With normal deliveries, obviously there can be some damage there. There's certain glands there that as gynecologists we worry about and we take care of. But
you can look after it. It's something. Look after your perineum, man.
Today's lesson is look after your perineum. But Dr. Robin, why did you decide to go into gynecology and obstetrics?
Well, I got through med school and realized I really didn't like sick people. They didn't fill me with joy at the end of the day.
Like Ben.
And I didn't exactly. And I didn't cope well with the dead and the dying. I also realized that male patients were particularly awful and disgusting, and that if I never had to see another male patient again in my life, I would be quite happy.
Amen, sister.
Shut up, Dave. Carry on, Robin. Just ignore him. All right.
And I realized I had a few talents in terms of surgical skills, so gynecology was my natural field.
That you didn't think maybe proctology was more for you? I mean, who decides that that's what they want to do?
Because you can
specialize in proctology, right? I've always wondered.
At med school, you can spot them a mile away.
Really? But who does proctology? I mean, what a thing to study.
It is quite a thing to study.
Proctology.
A lot of people sort of end up in medical fields moving across. Everyone moves across. The doctors I know that started out saying, I want to be a podiatrist, or doing completely different, still within the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go from head to toe, but they have all moved. And especially the guys that were med school, I did physiology and anatomy with my PT people. The guys that say, oh, gynecology, they were all like, and giggling. You know how boys are, and they giggle and nudge each other. And I pointed out to them, I said, if a female is coming to a doctor and it's not a normal checkup, that means something's wrong.
Mm.
You don't see the top class, A class vaginas. You're going to see the broken ones. They're coming to the mechanic. They're not coming there going,
is that right, Robin?
Have a look. It's beautiful. Yes. You can go next.
Well,
it's not like a shop of vaginas.
I see a fair number of fairly healthy vaginas in the course of my average day.
I was talking to someone about how clean a vagina is naturally, and you should never put anything soaps.
Yeah,
and
this is a good. While we're on this, I mean, Sia's really getting uncomfortable here. But,
no,
but
this is so above me now.
Take your testosterone pill.
Women are worried about their vaginal cleanliness and health, but actually, that thing there's a whole ecosystem going on there. It's got its own. Irrigation. It's got its whole thing going. You don't mess with that.
All the Mars lunar.
You don't squirt stuff in there, and you don't use soaps and weird things. It'll dry it out. It's bad, right?
And also, don't worry about that. There's nothing. The smell isn't even. It's such a weird thing where people go, well, I was so worried about the smell of my vagina. I don't know if that's a deep voice, but I tried to
I've
do.
Never heard
buy
a
these products. They sell you on and they're useless products. They're useless. They're bad for you. And
they probably do more.
If there is a smell, it's because something is wrong with your diet. You can change it. There's nothing but a 16 or 17 year old girl gets told by her boyfriend, oh, I'm not going down on you because it smells. That can ruin her for life with her relationship with her vagina.
Yes.
Totally.
Once again, it's boy's fault.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can understand why you don't want to work with men. So, Robin, how many different kinds of appearances of vagina do you get to see? I mean,
who's in the traffic now?
I'm really interested. Like, tell me about the variations in appearance of vaginas. This is fascinating.
There are so many variations on normal, and I can't even begin.
What is normal even? I mean, like, you get a huge range, right?
You do, totally.
Is there any truth in the rumor that a woman's who lips on her face would have a similarity to the vaginal lips? If she has a fuller lip, there'd be a. Is there? I've never. I mean, I've just.
It's a schoolboy. I've really considered that.
Okay. Wow, because if I had a vagina, then
I'm just looking at.
Whoa.
Listen. I tell you something, Robin. You didn't expect all of this today, so thank you for weathering the storm. I'm sorry.
Sure. When I tuned in this morning and heard Dave was on the show,
he also says that Robin is one of our first one, yeah, like our day one listeners. Mm. And that today, yeah, was the day that she stopped.
Yeah, today.
Yeah.
Do you work in a company or do you work? Have you got a private practice?
I'm in private practice.
Okay,
yeah.
So you don't need a need of team building.
Robin?
No.
Robin, do you ever have women come to you with strange things that they've lost up their vaginas?
I have to say, I'm probably one of the few gynecologists that have not had that experience.
Oh. What would you do if they did? Do you have to put them under and then have it removed with tools?
Well, it depends. It depends what it is that they've got up there, and I'd possibly take a look first in my rooms before we headed off to theatre if necessary.
What have you heard from some of your colleagues that people have stuffed up there?
The common trick is a deodorant can.
Oh, shit.
But with the cap at the top. And then they remove the deodorant can and the top stays behind.
How do you get that out?
A big sneeze.
We have a look and we have some
instruments. You need the salad forks.
Can do some damage.
Something
right?
like that.
But that's education because that means that's not a young girl. That's a older girl, older woman.
No, Dave. Oh. Any woman, any age.
Across the board.
No, but that seems like obviously there's a sexual frustration. So there's a phallus that needs to be that's working as a dildo vibrator. So a can of deodorant looks the same, but there needs to be some sort of education going. Glue the lid on or something.
Oh, God. You know what? Dave, that's not the education any woman's asking for.
Hi, I'm Dave, and glue your bloody lid on your deodorant can.
All right. Well, Robin, I'm going to let you go. I know this is uncomfortable for you because it is for me.
What are you doing? What have you got planned for the day?
Thanks. Robin's going to be looking at vaginas all day.
I'm heading into surgery shortly.
Right. Ooh. Anything interesting on the lineup today?
No, not particularly today.
Is
there a butterfly flange?
any children being born?
Not as yet. So we'll see if anybody comes in and labor today.
Okay.
There you go. Population increase.
Do you have any people who just drop by and go, hey, I'm here to have a child?
Can you check this out?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple that are almost due, so I'm kind of have my little waiting list in my brain. So.
Is it true that you get some women who don't know that they're pregnant until the child just arrives?
Apparently. I'm not convinced.
I'm not sure about
I'm
that.
Really not convinced about that.
Right. Mm. Okay, well, thanks very much for elucidating us today.
From chemical castration to getting deodorant.
Dr. Robin,
stuck
everybody.
Up.
That's great. All right,
thanks,
awesome.
Guys.
There we go. So plenty of information.
I just want to know someone in the traffic, if there is someone sitting next to you, just a frown on their face. Trying to change the dial on their phone. I think you can do that.
They'll be listening. No, they'll be listening more.
Look, it's education of a different kind.
And also, it's people should be speaking about these things naturally and not have any... Because as soon as if you did this at a dinner party, you're like, you know, the other day I got a deodorant can. People should be going, really?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Mm-hmm.
We should be talking about these things. Sia, did you learn something?
Am I making you hot?
Yes, I did.
You did, hey?
Well, on the chemical castration part.
Oh, okay. Not on the size of a lips.
I can count on less than 3 fingers the number of vaginas I've seen in real life.
Yes!
In fact, less than 3 fingers is probably your best thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't know if I was going to go down that road.
Right. Very good.
Can I bring up a quick news story just before
we
wrap the show?
No, wait. This is great. I've got to put this in now. One of my mates is a doctor.
Got to put it in now.
Yeah. That's exactly what I chose my words very carefully.
So
a friend of mine who's a doctor says, talking of foreign objects in cavities, I had a gay patient once with a huge dildo stuck in his descending colon. In med school, my ex-girlfriend had a 24-year-old boy get a vibrator stuck in his ass while it was on and waited 3 days until the battery died.
But you know that you can get longer-lasting batteries.
Wow. The guy just waited for 3 days while his backside was vibrating.
Do you know what I like about this show? I was emailed...
What do you like about
this show? I was emailed the course of the show, you know, which is quite professional. I think that's in any radio language you have your show.
It's called a running order.
Yeah, I was emailed this running show last night, so I printed it out, and I didn't realize there's a whole nother page.
No, Dave.
Idiot.
So it's a surprise for me. I'm like, wow, there's more? I thought we were just going to talk about cryptocurrency, and here we go home.
All right. Well, it's often controversial, sometimes misunderstood, but it's something that humankind has been doing since the beginning of our existence. What am I talking about? Hunting. That's right. It's the subject of the latest episode of Guncast, our podcast about guns and the complexities of gun law. It's hosted by Martin Hood, who is South Africa's foremost gun lawyer. This podcast series will inform and educate you about training, sports shooting, licensing, and other aspects of gun ownership. Bite the bullet. Download Guncast now.
Well, you're just resisting the urge to do that.
We're such kids, yeah.
We also deal in finger guns, which is quite popular at the moment.
Dave and I are like real children when
after
it comes to this
the
stuff.
Previous conversation, any sort of finger digits, bodily parts.
So if you haven't heard, listen, this is seriously important. If you have a family member or you have someone who's interested in your family in guns, because Becky Taylor wants to take all our guns away, apparently. He says, well, we are incompetent police, but we want you also to be incompetent when it comes to looking after yourself. Well, I saw him at the airport on Monday.
Oh, the general.
Yeah, he was wearing his hat and everything. I almost went up to him and said, leave our guns alone. But I thought better not to.
I just discovered yesterday.
But the reason I brought him up, I'll let you carry on in a second, is because you want to listen to Guncast. Mm-hmm. You want to know what the rules are around gun ownership, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, what the licensing conditions are, competence, all of that stuff.
I saw an amazing thing from Brett where he said exactly what people can do. He said, read the thread, then comment.
Yeah.
So what happens with Guncast is you jump straight in with your, listen to the thing.
Yeah, listen to gun it. Ownership. So, Sia?
I discovered yesterday that Gugu's also very passionate about guns.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know this.
Gugu, are you a gun owner?
He says he's passionate about two things in life.
Very, very passionate. Guns and Jesus. I like guns and...
He started asking me the other day about what gun I have, and I thought, what a strange person to just come up... He walked straight into my office, and he says to me, so what gun do you have?
He needs a team building.
That is team building.
How many guns did your grandfather own?
He owned a few. In his day.
And he said that was just the norm.
Mm. Look, gun... To have them know how these things work and to have no fear of them and to understand the things. Some accidents happen where a child has a gun and they come in and shoot you with your gun.
Mm.
That's what you want to stop. So someone like Gugu was taken by his grandfather and said, look how these things are. Yeah. This is how they work. And then he knew straight away, don't touch that thing. It's dangerous.
Right.
He didn't go, ooh, shoot things.
Well, yeah. Also, people who are scared of guns usually shouldn't be left in the company of guns. It's not a good idea. And there's this crappy idea that people have that most people who have a gun end up being the victim of their own gun. Nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. It's statistically completely
inaccurate. There's an argument starting machine if you talk about guns. It's very polarized.
Mm.
Especially, you talk about Oscar Pistorius, if you talk about kids being shot, but then Becky Taylor has got an issue with people taking the law into their own hands. But there was no one else's hands from the law there that night when I was attacked.
I've always maintained the best line I've ever heard about gun ownership, and it continues to be, Gugu, you can nod if you agree with me. It is better to have a gun and not need it than to need a gun and not have it.
Nods.
Someone breaks into my house, I am going to shoot them dead. Break into someone else's house, you may just get something.
Damn.
They don't have a gun.
Just for the record, there's nothing in my house worth stealing. I'm just saying, y'all stay away. I got my laptop here, my phone's here. We're all good.
You can get some cologne.
Y'all be staying away from my house.
Do me a favor. Just go
my porch.
Go and listen to Guncast because it's really good. Martin Hood is preeminent in terms of knowing what's going on in gun ownership, and he's really, really sharp. You need to listen to him.
Look, you got some guns, vaginas,
everything a man wants.
Building
and some sports.
And sports.
We came second twice
in panning and touch rugby. These are real masculine sports.
Great Dave, things to take away from
thank
today.
Thank you for being part of the manliest show we've done in a while.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. I'm going to go fit some butterfly things.
Butterfly flanges.
I'll go home and
beat
my chest now.
I think to squeeze in the word flange there, talking to Robin, was quite smart of me, and I feel that I never got enough credit.
Congratulations.
For saying,
all right, very good.
Amazing, Dave.
All right, excellent.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Great to see you.
No one said see you again.
See you
sometime.
Soon.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm at Parker's this weekend if you want to come see me do my
there
thing.
There we go. Give it a plug.
Yeah. Here we go. Parker's is in Monte Cassino. It's a daunting, scary place.
All weekend?
Place.
What day are you on?
Weekend on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The whole week. Wednesday, okay. Thursday. In fact, tonight, yeah. Tonight's Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Tonight's Wednesday, hey?
Go and support
yes,
Dave.
Yes, okay. It is.
Because mm-hmm. he's hilarious. He really is very funny.
And we like him.
Not only do we like him, but he is also better than a lot of comedians that we say we like, but we don't.
And he's getting some of Ben's money today.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they told you?
That's been his, okay. The last thing he said before he coughed.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.